As we begin Philippians chapter 4, we want to take a few minutes to sit quietly before the Lord and ask Him to speak to us through the Scriptures and to hear the Word of the Lord today. And we recommend that you do this every day before you begin your time in the Word. So, Father, we thank You today for Your love and mercy and grace, especially for the cross, and that we can come into Your presence. And Lord, thank You that You gave us the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. And You said He would teach us all things and remind us of everything that You had said to us. So we ask today, Your Spirit would be our teacher, and that You would speak to the hearts of everyone who is listening to this study of Philippians chapter 4. And may the glory of Christ be revealed through the sharing of His word today. So I just want to say a couple things about a disciples Bible study. Some people are just starting. Some are with us in chapter 4. That's all right. And just want to remind you to of read, write, share, and listen. So this week, please read Philippians chapter 4 every day. And every day, write down your thoughts and reflections, questions, how the Lord is speaking to you, and how you can trust and obey Jesus. Writing a prayer is always good, but try to answer two or three of the meditation questions every day. And share the word with your disciples' Bible study partner daily. This is such an important part of this study, and I encourage you to find a partner, if you haven't already, someone that you can share with daily, and it will be a huge, huge blessing. And then listen to the audio commentary. It's available and up in English and in Japanese. So let's just review quickly. In chapter 1 of Philippians, we see that Christ is our life. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And his earnest expectation and prayer was that Christ would be magnified through him in all that he did. Chapter 2, we see that Christ is our model, our example of humility, love, and service. And as his disciples, we are becoming like him more and more. And chapter 3, Christ is our goal. Paul said, "Whatever was gained to me in the past, I now consider lost for the sake of Christ. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection." And as we move into chapter 4, we see that Christ is our peace and our power. Now, we actually already discussed Philippians 4, verse 1. It's actually a part of the last section of Philippians chapter 3, where Paul told them, "Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends." And he was encouraging them to stay strong because Jesus is coming back, and he'll give us this glorious body like his own. And we're living in this temporary world now, but we have this unimaginable eternity ahead of us. So I summarize chapters 1, 2, and 3 again, simply as we go into chapter 4. The verses 2 through 9, I label very simply exhortations and encouragement. Paul makes many statements, one after another. Stand firm, agree with each other, rejoice in the Lord, be gentle, pray and don't worry, think about good things. These are the encouragements and exhortations that he gives in these first 8 or 9 verses. And then the last part is about the peace and power available to us in Christ. Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So let's begin at verse 2. "I plead with you, Euodia, and I plead with you, Syntyche, to agree with each other in the Lord." Yes. "And I ask you, well, Yokefellow," I think he's talking about his co-worker, one of his co-workers, Help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. It seems like these two ladies were struggling to get along with each other. This is human. Happens to all of us. Yeah, we have different ways of thinking, different viewpoints, different values, and sometimes it's hard. And sometimes we have conflict and misunderstandings. This is a part of being human. Also, sometimes there's greater things in our thinking that make it difficult, especially political and theological differences. We may disagree about small things like how to cook a meal or how to arrange our schedule, what color of carpet to buy, all kinds of things. But Paul says that we can agree together in the Lord. We have the same Lord, the same Savior, and agreement isn't just sort of a truce that says you can do your thing and I'll do my thing, but that we can actually have unity in Christ, even though we may disagree on everything else. That ability comes through our love relationship with the Lord. And this is the heart of Jesus. He prayed in John chapter 17 that they all may be one, Father, as we are one. And the basis of unity is not even theological agreement. But he said in John 17, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought into complete unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and have loved them even as I have loved you. He was praying for a unity that came because he lives in each one of us. This is the only way we can come into true unity in Christ. We have a lot of disagreements, and sometimes they can be very difficult. It's clear that these women were co-workers in a ministry, and I believe that they were involved in more than cooking, washing dishes, and serving tea, but they were involved in evangelism and discipleship. And I think that we need to honor and respect women in the body of Christ and allow them to function in the ministry and calling that God has given to each one of them. Now, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoicing in the Lord means to be happy and glad because of what he has done for us, because we have relationship with him and we trust him and trust that he is a good father and that he will fulfill his purposes for our lives. He has brought us into relationship with himself and has given us an eternal destiny, an eternal purpose. So no matter how bad things are in the world around us, we can rejoice in him, and he is the source of our joy. People do so many things in this world to find joy or happiness. They take pills, go on vacations, anything and everything. But true joy is found in Christ alone. Psalm 16 says, in your presence is fullness of joy. And that, as we've mentioned several times, is the theme of Philippians, joy, rejoicing. Joy and rejoicing is mentioned at least 19 times. Paul prays for joy in chapter 1 and rejoiced when Christ was proclaimed, even though the people might have had the wrong motives. He rejoiced in his disciples. He just had joy in his relationship with them. And he rejoiced that he could send one of his co-workers, Epaphroditus, back to them and knew that they'd be very happy, a joy in the fellowship. And he tells us in chapter 3, verse 1, we mentioned last time, rejoice in the Lord. And he was repeating this message over and over because joy is like a weapon. It energizes our faith. It activates our faith. And by rejoicing, we're putting our focus on the Lord. We're expressing our faith in him and rejecting the negativity and darkness and all the sorts of attacks that the enemy wants to put into our minds. And so in Philippians 4:4, he tells them twice, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. It says in Nehemiah chapter 8 that the joy of the Lord is our strength. True joy comes from him. The Lord is the source of our joy and strength. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. He loves us. He's forgiven our sins. He is the good shepherd that leads us and guides us. He is the high priest who understands us and has mercy for us when we stumble and fail. How can we not rejoice when we see of his love and kindness and mercy towards us? And Paul says in verse 5, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. If we understand that Jesus is coming back, it should change our perspective. And this is a constant emphasis of Jesus himself, but through the New Testament, we're to live knowing that Jesus is returning to this earth physically and that all will stand before him. And it says in Philippians chapter 2, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we see in chapter 3 that when he comes, he's going to give us this new glorious body, an eternal body that's like his own. And when he comes, and I've been harsh and fighting and angry, he forgives our sins. He has mercy for us. But I want to live to please him. And I think of the many times when I have been harsh and angry and difficult, and in the light of his coming and eternity, it's just silly. And he wants us to be gentle, because that is his heart. He said, I am gentle and humble in heart, in Matthew chapter 11. And that's where he said, come to me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, this is the heart of Jesus. It's not always my heart, but I want to be like him. And he is merciful and gentle and full of love and compassion for people. And Lord, I thank you for that. Thank you that you're merciful to me and to us. And may we be merciful to others. And now in verse 6, verse I memorized in high school, do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. First verse to summarize very shortly, worry about nothing, pray about everything. Many places in the Bible tells us not to worry. Worry doesn't accomplish anything. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink, but trust the Father. But pray about everything. And this is really important. So what does this mean? I think it means talk to God and tell him what's in your heart. Don't just pray mechanical prayers. It's not a matter of just praying the right words, but praying to the Father. Jesus said, don't put on a show when you pray to impress others, but pray in private. Go into the closet and talk to your Father who understands your heart and your needs. Tell him about your problems. Pour out your heart, share your feelings, your doubts, your problems. He wants to have a relationship with us. He's the faithful high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses. Tell him about your pleasures, your pain, your troubles, so he can comfort you. Tell him about your joys, so that he may purify them. Tell them about the things you don't like, about your temptations, about your hurts and pain, even our sins, our self-centeredness and pride. Talk to the Lord, because he created us to know him and wants us to have a relationship with him and to depend on him and walk with him. We are weak. We're like sheep, but he is the good shepherd. So talk to the Lord. And it says, with thanksgiving, thank him for everything. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. When we give thanks, we're honoring God and saying, God, I thank you for everything, even the things I don't understand, because I believe you, I trust you. And God does hear and answer all the prayers of his children. I was just listening to something yesterday, and the man said, God hears and answers all of our prayers. It's quite an affront to God to think that he doesn't hear our prayers. He hears every prayer, just like parents hear their children when they ask for things. And sometimes the answer he gives is no, or not now, or I have a better plan. But we need to believe God and know that he hears and he cares and he answers our prayers. And in this process of talking with God and opening our heart to him, we connect with him. And it says that the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Jesus said in John 14:27, peace I leave to you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Sometimes we know things in our mind, but our feelings and our heart don't agree, someone said. When we connect with God, our heart and our mind come into agreement. When we tell God about our needs and problems, he may not understand them or answer them immediately. We may not understand what he's going to do, but we know that he hears. And through that connection with him, we receive his peace. I've lived in Japan for more than 45 years and experienced many difficulties, especially financial difficulties. Japan, for many years, was the highest cost of living in the world. When we came here, the dollars became very weak. We didn't have enough money to live on. And I didn't know what to do. Everything else was not going well. And so I read my Bible one morning, read from 2 Kings chapter 17, I believe, the story of Elisha. And God told him to go to this village of Zarephath, which was a foreign village during a famine and a drought, and to ask this widow to feed him and take care of him, which would have been a humbling thing for the prophet. But he obeyed. He went to this village, and there was a woman picking up sticks. And he said, please give me something to eat and drink. And she said, I have just a little bit of flour, just a little bit of oil, and I'm going to make the last meal for my son and myself, and then we're going to die. It was pretty bleak. And he just said, this is the word of the Lord. Give me a little drink and something to eat. And as long as until there's rain in this land, your oil will never run out. And your flour will never, your oil will never run dry. Your flour will never run out. And I read that, and my world changed. God gave me that promise, and I knew that he would meet every need. And I haven't worried one time since that day. And God has provided financially, unbelievably, for our kids and education and ministry travels around the world. And I still don't worry, because God is God. And may that same peace come to you now for your whatever problem, financial, physical, relational problem, things that really trouble you. May God touch your heart and assure you of his love and power. Lord, I just pray that. Amen. And verse 8, finally, my brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So Paul's telling us how to think. Don't think about negative things. The battlefield is the mind. The enemy is always trying to put doubt, despair, condemnation, judgment into our minds, and we have to reject negativity and thoughts of inferiority and condemnation, guilt. They're not from the Lord. And to think about good things in Christ, things that are true. Well, what's true? Well, Jesus is true. God is sovereign and in control. He works out everything for his good. That is true. Everything that's noble. What's noble? Well, I'm sure everyone can think a lot of things, but helping people, serving people, loving them, giving to the poor, doing good, whatever is right, things that are in line with the Bible and honest and extend the kingdom of God and bring wholeness and healing to people, and everything that's pure. There's a lot of things in the world around us that we fill our minds with sometimes on television or in music or movies. Maybe we should be a little bit more careful about, but what is pure? Well, friendship, sometimes sports, things done with good motives, but family and things that we know in our hearts that have the blessing of God on them, things that are lovely, all the good things that God has made in nature and in society and in each culture and in family, and things that are admirable, hard work, things done to serve others and things done to serve God, things that are praiseworthy, things done to love others and to bless them, and to honor God. So God cares about our mind. Philippians speaks a lot about the mind. Paul told them in Philippians 1 to be of one mind and one spirit. He told us in chapter 2 that we should have the mind of Christ, and in chapter 4 that our mind and our hearts would be kept in perfect peace that passes all understanding. And now he's talking to us about the mind again. The mind is very important. It's not just intellectual thoughts or believing a set of theological doctrines, but it includes the heart and values and attitude, and not just the cognitive thoughts that we have. He wants us to have a good attitude, and the attitude of Jesus and the values of Jesus. And I think this understanding will help us understand the command to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Lord, thank you for these wonderful words in Philippians. May they become life to us. Give revelation to each one that's listening to this, and may they be lived out, and may we experience your life through Jesus and through the Spirit that you've given to us. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.